Welcome to today's deep dive. When most people think about local search optimization, like getting a business to show up on Google, they treat it like putting a neon open sign in the front window.
Right, you just plug it in.
Exactly. You plug it in, it glows red, and you just assume your job is done. But consider what happens if that bright, flashy sign lures someone in, only for them to find a store with, I don't know, no inventory, no cash register, and a completely bewildered staff.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
Standard SEO is just plugging in the sign. The strategy we are unpacking today is like re-engineering the entire customer experience from the moment they see you from the curb all the way to the moment the receipt is printed.
Which is a fundamental shift in how business owners really need to be thinking right now. What we have on the table today is this highly specific internal playbook.
From June 2026, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a June 2026 strategy document created by an agency called Technegian, and it was written specifically for HVAC owners, marketers, and service manager operating in Orange County, California.
Which is an insanely competitive market.
Oh, hyper competitive. I mean, this isn't theoretical advice. It is an operational manual for one of the toughest localized markets in the country.
And that is exactly our mission for this deep dive. We're taking this incredibly niche playbook and extracting the universal mechanics. Because whether you run an HVAC company in Orange County or, a dental clinic in Chicago or a landscaping crew in Austin, the underlying challenge is the same for you.
The rules still apply.
Right. We need to figure out how local businesses actually convert search visibility into qualified calls and booked appointments. We really have to move entirely past those generic checklists. Okay, let's unpack this.
Do it.
Because the document establishes the stakes very early on, and it paints a pretty grim picture for businesses that treat SEO as just, well, an IT task.
What's fascinating here is that the stakes are entirely operational. The source material explains that when local search is integrated carefully into a business, it supports both visibility and trust. The customer feels confident making the call, and the employees have the right tools to close the sale. But when it's ignored or mismanaged, you don't just lose website traffic.
You lose a lot more than that.
Exactly. You face what the document essentially describes as quiet bleeding.
Quiet pleading. I love that phrase.
It's terrifying, honestly.
Yeah.
Businesses lose time, they lose leads, internal confidence plummets, and security risks open up. And all of this happens often without the leadership ever seeing the immediate cause.
So the damage just happens in the dark.
Basically, yes.
That concept of quiet bleeding is fascinating, but if we're moving away from the theoretical here, what is actually causing that bleeding? The playbook is surprisingly blunt on this point.
It really is. It pulls no punches.
It states right up front that the problem in 2026 is absolutely not a lack of tools. I mean, everyone has access to the same analytics software and keyword planners, right?
Yeah, tools are totally commoditized at this point.
Yeah. Right. So the friction points, according to the document, are things like thin service pages, weak city targeting, inconsistent reviews, slow mobile pages, and poor conversion tracking.
Those are the exact warning signs. And in isolation, it's just incredibly easy for leadership to brush them off.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for a second. If I'm an HVAC company owner, why do I actually care about page load speed? I install air conditioners for a living. Isn't a slow mobile page just a technical annoyance for my IT guy or my web developer to deal with?
It's so easy to think that way, but the document completely dismantles that assumption. These are not isolated technical annoyances at all.
What are they then?
They are glaring indicators that the business is relying on memory, manual effort, or incomplete data. Think about the mechanics behind a thin service page for a second.
Okay.
If your website only has a single paragraph saying, "We fix air conditioners," your customer service reps are being forced to manually answer the same basic questions on the phone all day long.
Oh, like do you service the specific brand or do you charge a diagnostic fee?
Exactly. Do you offer financing? How soon can you get here? That creates massive friction for your employees.
So it's not just about the code on the back end, it's about the cognitive load on the customer and the physical load on the staff.
Yes, precisely.
It actually reminds me of the broken window theory in criminology. The idea that visible signs of neglect, like a broken window, encourage further neglect in a neighborhood.
That's a really good analogy.
Right. Because in the digital space, if a customer lands on a slow mobile page or sees inconsistent reviews, they subconsciously register that as a mismanaged operation. They literally translate a slow website into a slow response to their broken AC unit in the middle of a July heat wave.
That is the exact mechanism at play. It erodes trust before they even dial your number. So to fix this, the playbook introduces a specific phase in their plan called the W19 plan phase, which focuses on topical authority expansion.
Okay, let's define that, because topical authority definitely sounds like classic marketing jargon. For anyone outside the industry, what does it actually mean to build topical authority?
Essentially, it means proving to search engines and to your customers, honestly, that you aren't just a general contractor who occasionally fixes an air conditioner. You are the ultimate comprehensive expert on HVAC systems in your specific region.
Okay, so it's about depth.
Right. The strategy emphasizes that simply writing a blog post to educate a visitor is no longer enough. The content must build authority and actively guide the visitor's decisions.
The source material has a really great line on this. It says, "A page that educates but gives no decision path is weaker than a page that explains, proves, and guides."
Which is spot on. If you write a brilliant article explaining how a compressor works, but you fail to give the reader a way to evaluate their own system's risk, or compare repair versus replacement costs, you've failed.
Or like a way to easily book an inspection right there on the page.
Exactly. If you don't give them that, you just gave them free homework. You didn't actually solve their problem.
To build that authority, the document targets very specific long-tail search demand. And by long-tail, for anyone listening, we are talking about those highly specific multi-word phrases that people type into Google when they are much closer to making a purchase.
Right, the high-intent stuff.
Yeah. The playbook lists targets like HVAC SEO Orange County, local SEO HVAC contractors, Google Business Profile HVAC, and HVAC lead generation SEO. What strikes me here is that it mentions these pages should also act as resources that the sales team can physically send to prospects.
Which is incredibly efficient if you think about it. Your marketing material is now doubling as sales enablement.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It ensures that the money you spend on content serves multiple operational purposes rather than just, you know, trying to please a search engine algorithm.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. If the underlying problem is a lack of clear decision paths, how does a company actually rebuild those paths without grinding their daily operations to a complete halt?
Well, that's the tricky part, right?
Right. The document outlines a very structured three-phase playbook to achieve this real visibility.
Taking a massive, overwhelming digital overhaul and breaking it down into actionable reality is really the only way it gets done.
So let's look at the mechanics of these phases. Phase one is called the fix. The primary instruction here is to keep it narrow, like do not try to boil the ocean.
Keep the scope tight.
Exactly. The document advises building dedicated service area pages, optimizing the Google Business Profile, cleaning up reviews, and adding FAQs. But the critical part isn't really the to-do list, is it? It's the measurement. Phase one demands that you measure booked revenue, not just web traffic.
Because traffic is a vanity metric.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you get 2,000 people visiting your website from across the country because they liked a blog post.
Right, but none of them live in your service area.
Exactly. But zero people book an HVAC appointment in Orange County. That traffic is fundamentally useless to your bottom line. Phase one requires the output to be a documented improvement in actual revenue.
Which means we need a way to track that revenue, and that leads us directly into phase two, measurement. Now, this isn't just about setting up a pretty dashboard. This phase defines exactly what is being tracked, how often it will be reviewed, and most importantly, who responds if the metrics drop.
It attaches a human reaction to a data point. That's key. If your conversion rate suddenly drops by, say, 15% on a Tuesday, phase two ensures that a specific person has the explicit job of investigating that drop by Wednesday morning.
So no pointing fingers.
Right. It completely eliminates the bystander effect where everyone just assumes someone else is checking the dashboard.
So if phase two ensures someone investigates the drop, phase three seems designed to prevent the drop from happening in the first place. Phase three is called standardizing ownership.
Yes.
And it involves assigning maintenance, reporting, and vendor coordination to specific individuals.
I would argue phase three is the most profound element of this entire 2026 strategy. It transforms SEO from a one-time project, like, you know, like painting a building, into a repeatable operating discipline, like daily floor sweeping.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
Without standardizing ownership, you run into the bus factor. If the one employee who understands your website leaves, or you hire a new marketing vendor, all the old problems return.
The pages get slow again. The content gets thin.
Exactly. Phase three prevents that regression entirely.
A big part of maintaining that discipline, according to the document, relies on the mechanics of linking, both internal and external. I want to spend a second on this because it's usually treated as a complete afterthought.
Oh, absolutely. It's so overlooked.
Internal links, like linking from a blog post about AC repair to your local SEO services page, they basically act as the nervous system of your website. They show the search engines exactly how all your topics connect to form that topical authority we discussed earlier.
Internal linking ensures your content doesn't just exist as an isolated island. If a potential customer reads about AC repair, the internal link naturally guides them to the next logical step.
Which is the booking page.
Right. Creates the decision path.
And then there's external linking. The playbook states you must link out to credible sources, like the official Google Business Profile guidelines. But it adds a very sharp operational rule here. It says, do not just dump a list of links at the bottom of an article like a high school bibliography.
Right, that doesn't work anymore.
You have to use them naturally in the body of the text to validate your standards.
It is entirely about proving your work. When you discuss a specific technical standard for HVAC installation, and you immediately link out to the official manufacturer's guidelines right there in the sentence, it proves to the reader and to the search engine that your claims are grounded in reality.
You aren't just operating in an echo chamber.
Precisely.
Okay, so if phase three locks in this operational discipline, how do business leaders actually know it is working without just staring at a spreadsheet of raw website visitors? This brings us to one of the most dangerous concepts outlined in the source material, which is the measurement trap.
The measurement trap derails more local businesses than competitors do, frankly.
The document explicitly warns against measuring activity instead of measuring outcomes. It says that publishing a new web page, buying an expensive software tool, or holding a quarterly planning meeting does not prove success.
Those are just motions. They just create the illusion of progress.
It's exactly like someone trying to get in shape. Measuring activity is like bragging to your friends that you bought a gym membership and ordered a really expensive treadmill for your garage.
Yeah.
You are tracking your spending and your setup, but you haven't actually done anything to improve your health. The outcome is losing weight, lowering your blood pressure, or running a mile without getting winded.
The business equivalent of taking a selfie on the expensive treadmill is celebrating that you published 10 blog posts this month. It doesn't mean anything until you check the vital signs.
And the document provides a fantastic breakdown of what those actual business vital signs look like.
It does. You should be tracking response times.
Yeah.
Like, how fast does your team actually reply to a lead? You track conversion rates, risk reduction, and fewer support tickets.
The source even lists cleaner operational reporting as a metric of success, which I love. If your data is easier to read, the strategy is working.
It's a huge win.
And for the content itself, it recommends tracking assisted conversions. For anyone unfamiliar, an assisted conversion means someone didn't just buy immediately. Maybe they read your article on Tuesday, left the site, but remembered your expertise and came back on Friday to book a repair directly.
So the blog post assisted in that final sale.
Exactly.
The document also suggests tracking whether the sales team actually uses the posts in their daily workflows. If your team ignores the content when talking to customers, the content is fundamentally failing as a decision path.
Now, to achieve those outcomes, you inevitably have to secure a budget. The playbook approaches budgeting by dividing spending into two distinct categories. They call them urgent fixes and maturity improvements.
Right.
Urgent fixes are the immediate fires. We're talking security flaws, broken conversion paths, website downtime, or compliance issues. If a customer physically cannot submit a contact form, that is an urgent fix.
And maturity improvements are the investments that build the muscle over time. Things like automated reporting, internal staff training, better documentation, and data governance.
So you fund the urgent fixes to stop the bleeding.
Exactly. And you fund the maturity improvements to ensure you don't start bleeding again next year.
But getting the budget approved for either of those categories requires navigating the boardroom, which is never easy. The playbook suggests driving the very first budget discussion with a highly specific question.
This raises an important question, yes. What is the cost of inaction?
Yeah.
It is a brilliant psychological pivot. Instead of a manager walking in and asking, how much will it cost to fix our slow website? Leadership needs to ask, what happens to our revenue if we leave this site broken for another 3 months?
What's the acceptable impact on customer experience if we just do nothing?
Exactly. It completely reframes the conversation.
It takes the emotion and the sticker shock right out of the room. It's no longer, do we want to spend $5,000 on an agency? It becomes, can we afford to lose $15,000 in booked appointments this summer because our mobile page is too slow for people to find our phone number during a heat wave?
By framing it around the cost of inaction, prioritization becomes an objective calculation rather than just, you know, a debate over marketing trends.
But securing the budget is really only half the battle. To execute this, you need the right human beings in place. We have to move from data and dollars to actual human alignment because an operating discipline simply doesn't exist without humans doing the work.
The most sophisticated technical strategy is completely useless if the staff actively rejects it.
To solve that, the document outlines a mandatory two-owner system. It dictates that for this local search strategy to work, you absolutely must assign one business owner whose job is to define the why and one technical or marketing owner whose job is to define the practical steps, the how.
This pairing is totally non-negotiable in their methodology.
I do have to ask, though, doesn't assigning two owners just create a bureaucratic bottleneck? I mean, if two people are in charge, isn't it true that nobody is actually in charge?
It sounds like a recipe for gridlock, I know. But the document explains why the dynamic tension between these two roles is so vital. Consider the alternative. If you only have a technical owner, like your lead web developer, the topic becomes completely abstract.
Oh, I see.
It turns into a checklist of meta tags and server speeds. Leadership can't evaluate it, they don't understand it, and eventually it gets disconnected from revenue entirely.
Right, it just reverts back to the IT guy fixing annoyances in a vacuum.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. On the other side, if you only have a business owner, say a general manager driving the project, you get a lot of grand visions about dominating the Orange County market,
yes,
but absolutely no practical, executable steps to make it happen.
So pairing them forces translation.
Yes. Furthermore, it drives internal adoption. Your dispatchers and technicians are only going to follow a new process when they understand what it protects or simplifies for them.
The business owner communicates the why, and the technical owner provides the frictionless how.
Exactly.
To keep that dynamic duo aligned over the long term, the text brings up documentation. But it's careful to clarify that this shouldn't be some 300-page manual that just sits on a shelf collecting dust.
Right, nobody reads those.
It just needs to be a short record of the current state, a practical checklist, and a verification log detailing what decisions were made and when they need to be reviewed next.
The sole purpose of this documentation is continuity. When a new marketing manager is hired or a new agency is brought in, they can look at the verification log and instantly understand what was done and why.
They don't have to restart the entire discovery process from scratch.
No. It turns a project into a permanent business asset.
Speaking of bringing in an agency, the document addresses partner accountability directly. If you hire outside help, like Technigian, for example, expectations regarding deliverables and response times have to be locked in. But the standout requirement here is the nature of the communication itself. The playbook demands plain language reporting,
which is where so many vendor relationships just fall apart. Strong partner accountability means leadership should never have to decode technical jargon to figure out if their investment is paying off.
Right. If an agency sends you a 60-page spreadsheet highlighting keyword densities and backlink ratios, they are essentially hiding behind activity metrics.
Yep, it's smoke and mirrors.
A good partner sends a plain language report that directly connects their technical work to your business outcomes. They say, we reduced the page load time by 3 seconds, which resulted in a 15% increase in completed contact forms.
They connect the dots. They prove their business value, not just their technical competence.
So what does this all mean? If we pull all the threads together from this 2026 playbook for Orange County HVAC companies, the universal mechanisms are pretty clear for whatever business you are running out there.
We really are.
Winning local search means abandoning the one-time set-it-and-forget-it checklists. You have to build real topical authority that creates clear decision paths for your customers. You have to measure your success in booked revenue and operational outcomes, completely ignoring vanity traffic metrics.
Absolutely.
You need a two-owner system to bridge the gap between business goals and technical execution, and you must demand plain language reporting from your vendors.
And as you begin making these shifts, keep the document's core philosophy in mind. The strongest signal of success is not achieving technical perfection.
No.
No. It is achieving controlled progress. If your team can sit in a room and clearly explain what was changed on the website, why it was changed, how the result was measured, and what the next logical step is, you have successfully turned the vague concept of SEO into a tightly managed business capability.
Controlled progress over perfection. That is the ultimate takeaway. We started this deep dive talking about that neon open sign, how easy it is to plug it in and measure how bright it glows, completely ignoring the fact that the cash register is unplugged inside.
It's a dangerous trap.
But as we look toward the future of local search, I want to leave you with a different thought to mull over. If topical authority and clear decision paths are the absolute baseline for survival in 2026, what happens when AI agents start making booking decisions on behalf of the customer?
Oh, wow. That's a whole different ballgame.
Right. If your site is just a glowing neon sign with no deep operational structure, an AI assistant won't even know how to open the door. It will simply bypass you for a competitor whose website it can actually read and interact with. It's definitely something to think about. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.